Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Thick Ass. This is episode number 169. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me is Jonathan Fass of acceleratedstrength.com.
Well done, Kevin.
I want to make sure people get to that website.
Thanks, dude.
For all the information on there. And also,
there's a ton of information if you haven't read it.
Is there?
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, it's new to you.
True. That's a very good point, John.
Thank you.
I'll go there right now. And also we have Lee Peel of LeePeel.com. What up, Lee?
How come I didn't get the dramatic pause in between the two names?
Because people know LeePeel.com. Mm. They know what's up.
They do know what's up.
I hope they do.
Mm. They should.
John, you have nothing new on this page.
Hey, Kevin.
He works.
Yeah.
Like 18 hours a day.
No, I'm just saying, well, you shouldn't have called me out on it if the last blog post you made was on August 29th about the Matrix.
Was it? That's amazing. I can't believe I found time in August to actually blog.
Yeah, man, good for you. It's a tough time right now. But we're here this week, and like I said, we have a great show lined up for you. If I didn't say it, I said it right now. Let's talk quickly about some Thickass-related stuff. The first part being that I'm actually blogging at kevinlarrabee.com now. And there has been, I've already written like 10 blogs and they're scheduled to go out in the next 2 weeks. So there's tons of stuff. There's even a great one on core progressions. Like, I think it's article, like, legit very good. And I don't mean to blow smoke, but I think I worked like an hour and a half on it, so I think you guys will like it. No feedback from you guys. That's right. The next thing.
I was waiting. I thought you're. Well, I'm excited to read it.
And the next part along with that, and it's going to be up on the thickass.com, but it's kind of part of this is that I'm doing a solo podcast, which. First episode was Ask Kevin because I couldn't think of a name, and I guess a lot of people suggested the Flex Capacitor or What Up Kev, and I think I'm going to go with What Up Kev because that makes a little bit more sense. But
What Up Kev?
Although it's more or less that's like a Lee Peel thing.
Yeah, just stealing my stuff all over the place.
I think I said it first though, didn't I?
I'm saying, you know, Ask Kevin, What Up Kev.
Writing a blog.
You're trying to boot me out.
The mini cast.
Sorry.
Actually, I was going to just call it the fat loss tech support. Something like that.
Tech support.
I like that. So the first episode went up. It's about 30 minutes. And the reason being that I'm doing this is, as you guys have kind of noticed, I have a little bit more to say now. So I am starting to say it. As John, we had a kind of a tiffle a couple weeks ago, right?
A disagreement, really.
Disagreement.
In philosophy.
Finally got to listen to it.
We did.
I don't even think that we did so much.
Really,
we both were looking for.
I know. I was just trying to start controversy.
Yeah.
Trying to stir it up, John. Thanks. And John, did you get to check out the follow up to that I wrote for Hannah?
Yeah.
What'd you think? Was that all right?
Yeah, of course.
Thanks. And Kim's blog. Kim is one of my personal training clients. You check it out at thefitcast.com. She's getting married in a couple months, so she's looking to get uber lean. I've been using that word a lot. I don't know why.
Uber?
Yeah, I really should never use that word ever again. But yeah,
I've used that word since my Buffy watching days.
Yeah, I know. And I didn't even watch that. So
you didn't watch Buffy?
No, I didn't. And I still haven't opened up Dollhouse Season 1 on Blu-ray.
Oh, dude.
John, I worked like maybe 30 hours less than you per week, and I haven't had time. So and also, Thickass Accountability Blog. There was a new one posted last week, and obviously there'll be another one up midweek. T-shirts, guys, please check out the t-shirts. We've gotten, I think, like maybe 15 orders. But come on, guys. T-shirts are awesome. And even I even looked up. The one thing I am going to have to change is that for international orders, it actually cost me like $13 to ship it. So it's probably going to have to be like $32 for the t-shirts just so I'm not losing money when I send them to you. But the obviously that info will be up on the page. And for everyone that's already paid $30, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of it. But the t-shirts are great. People are already getting them. There's been some comments on the website about them. And I mean, you guys should really check them out. They're pretty cheap, especially if you live inside the United States. It's $20 to get it to you. So I hope you check it out and show support. And again, like Lee and I talked about last week, help me move out of my parents' house. Yeah.
It's a great cause.
Oh, I wasn't on last week.
No, you weren't, John.
That's right. Really, that was only... Yeah, the days, like, blend. I didn't even realize that that's when I was in San Diego. Okay.
How was that, John?
It was good. It was real good. Gave my presentation and saw some cool things, and life was peachy.
Awesome. And I'm about to ask Lee what's up, but on a more serious note, they're obviously it's hard to not discuss the earthquake and the also resulting tsunami that happened. So, before you buy a t-shirt, support those causes, and then if there's money left over, buy a t-shirt.
Good call. I like that.
What up, Lee? Man, you've been blogging a lot.
I know. I said I was going to try and do that more, and I have been. And definitely my blog post that I mentioned last week paid off. I said it would be a talked about blog post, and it was. Very linkable.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that a little bit, Lee. You actually posted the blog post about body fat percentage.
I did. And
let's chat.
I basically put up pictures of half-naked people and judged them, and it was popular. But just talked about visual ratings of body fat percentage, and of course it's not an exact measurable science or anything. It's just something that it's a lot of people do in the industry and talk about it. But it's fun, but there's not really, at least not that I've ever seen, an actual guide or visual chart, if you will, that discussed it on the level of what I did. So I tossed it up there, and ever since I sent out my email, because it's had about 15,000 hits now.
Wow.
Those articles that I worked for days on about, carbohydrate sensitivity and doing research or BPA now. No, but judging people's body fat through pictures, there it is. Well, stumbled.
I mean, it's for everyone. But, like everyone is interested in that because they want to know. I mean, I'm sure not everyone has like clinic grade calipers at home to check their body fat, and if they do, I'm sure that it's not going to be incredibly accurate.
Yeah, for me, I think what's funny about me writing that post is that I don't care. Do it with my clients. It's something that I feel is kind of irrelevant. It's a novelty. It's a novelty thing. It's not that it's like, bad or anything, but it's not even something that I even take that seriously, but it's just a question I get asked, all the time, and it's things that I see talked about all the time. So I just thought I have a good little map or image out there for people to look at. And obviously, some people are upset, or some people, are not happy because they take it as me saying that they're fat. Mm-hmm. If they're heavier than the 30% or the 20% or whatever a person that's on there. But, it's just a post. It's just
30%. That's around where I am now these days. That's a good picture.
John, I saw a picture. You look fine, man. You look good.
Good, fast.
Still looks sexy, dude.
Well,
bringing it back.
Yeah, bringing it back old school. You put in Lee Peel blog, that's the first thing that pops up, is this post.
Mm-hmm. Super, super popular.
Yeah. I hit the, my SEO rankings. If you put body fat picture, I'm on the first page.
awesome.
That's not easy to do. I don't know how I did it really, but you know, I'm learning that SEO stuff. It's weird. I think I'm going to outsource it.
Yeah, I'm just using a plugin. I don't really know anything about it. I don't even think if I don't even know if I am using it. But
yeah, but it was a big thing, and I have nothing coming. I'm going to update it with some more pictures, and I was going to have an email I was going to send out to ask people if they want to send me in pictures, because you know it costs me money. Like my pictures, I pay for them. So to find the pictures that I needed, I didn't actually have them, so I had to pay for some of those pictures. And so I was going to send out an email asking people if they wanted to send in pictures of themselves, head chopped off, of course, to build kind of a gallery, more of an arrangement, so they could have more look at it, varying body fat percentages, etc. So I was going to do that this week. That's about it, though. It's about all that's up with me.
Awesome. I hope a lot of the Thickass listeners get in on that and check it out. Send some fully naked pictures to Lee Peel.
Yep.
Nice. That's a nice blog post right there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's got Terrell Owens in it.
Yeah.
Isn't that messed up that I can actually recognize his body?
Well, his face is there.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No?
No.
Nope. Cut it off.
It's from like a Gatorade ad or something like that, or maybe it's a Nike ad.
And I appreciate that you cut off the my face from the 25% body fat.
I didn't want them.
John's swim trunks.
Yeah.
Hair is all.
Appreciate it. I shaved for that one. Just so you could see the full out definition that I possess.
Bet you could bench like 200 pounds.
No, not anymore. If you don't think I have time to blog, what makes you think I have time to bench 200 pounds?
Oh, you got your perfect pull-up, right? And perfect push-ups?
I do. Not the perfect push-ups. By the way, I saw a small research article on the perfect push-up, and they were looking at electromyography. I think triceps, pec, anterior delt, all that stuff. They basically saw no difference between the perfect push-up and a regular push-up.
So disappointing.
Yeah.
Well, it's just nice to use that neutral grip option. I like it.
Yeah, well, but
is that what they said in the well, yeah.
Yeah, they compared all grip positions, and I believe that they did look at like the turning, the rotational one, and they found no difference or no statistical difference, and yeah, I mean it was pretty interesting, cuz although, you know, part of it you figure like, well, there must be more muscle use if I'm adding movement. But on the other hand, we're not wired to do that. There's no time in your life you'll ever do that. So why would you be using more muscle? You know what I mean? Like sometimes it kind of comes down to reinventing the wheel. You get a block because you don't need that kind of motion. We're not wired to do it specifically. And therefore, what advantage would it confer? So I thought it was a pretty interesting study.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Nice.
In fact, the majority of things that we do upper extremity is open chain anyway. It's not closed chain. So there's even, you know, kind of argument for what kind, you know, when you strategize in terms of weightlifting for general health and fitness, you know, what kind of exercise are you actually using? And you can kind of look at, you know, real life examples of stuff and say, you know, I'm not typically climbing rocks. You know, so most of the stuff that you do is not really closed chain.
And
nice free little mailbag thing there. Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. I like that.
Lastly, I'm just going to bring this up because I found it equally as interesting. Is that Lee had an extended bio posted.
Yes.
Proving that you're not a 13-year-old living in your parents' basement.
Oh yeah, I liked that too.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not. I am real. I do exist. I'm just private. I just still don't get the whole "you want to know what I eat for breakfast" Twitter thing.
Me neither.
Just kind of private like that. But yeah. Since I get accused of it all the time, and I probably shouldn't say it online, but it probably encourages. But anyway, I have a stalker right now, from online, like a real one. Yeah, go me. That was trying to do the best he could to convince people that I was wow, the word is not coming to me. A snake oil salesman or whatever, that I wasn't real. Yeah. Lives here in my area. So going around like all kinds of places and leaving comments and sending. Very scary. So I thought, you know, since that was going on, it'd be a good time to just kind of say, yeah, whatever, this is the about me. This is what it is. There you go. Just call it a day. So, but more than anything, people were just interested if we were sleeping together, Kevin.
Oh, which we are.
I know. Right.
Which, yeah. I mean, it's finally, it's great to talk about that.
Yeah, it's been killing me keeping it inside. John, by the way, sorry.
Partially really. The reason why I'm so tired is I'm always driving down there.
Right.
That's a commute.
It is. Well, sorry, you know, my private jet is just not working. You know, I have to drive down there. It's putting a lot of miles on my new car, but, you know, it's, do what you got to do, you know?
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm.
So anyways, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the mailbag. All right, time for the mailbag. The first question or the email that we have comes from Ruben. It says, hey, Ficass, first off, love the show. I'm a longtime listener. I've listened to it while working as a United States Postal Service employee. Whoops. I love my job. I get to listen to the podcast and music while driving around town lifting heavy stuff. First and foremost, thanks for using USPS. Second, I'd like to offer a bit of a correction to your recent rants about the Postal Service by first pointing out that it is the United States, all caps, Postal Service. Once your items leave the country, the United States Postal Service no longer has any control over what customs or other countries delivery services may do with it. Keep up the good work, Ruben.
Yeah.
My bad. Yeah, no, I they've been great with the priority stuff. I mean,
that's a good point.
Everyone's gotten the t-shirts, so it's been pretty good. I haven't sent the international folks their t-shirts yet. That will be this week, but we will see. And Ruben, let us know. Do zip codes actually do they mean anything? Question.
Yeah, I'm thinking they do, dude.
I know it's a Seinfeld reference, and John, you're not fun. So.
Oh. Correct on both counts.
We're going to go to the next question from Maggie. Lee, I got a question for you. I've started a pretty intense weight training schedule along with upping my protein intake in order to become more toned overall. I'm having trouble in certain spots, like for instance, the quote, chicken wings right under the biceps. I cannot seem to find an exercise to get rid of those. Also, my body fat is at about 20% right now. I'm 5'11", 145 pounds, and I really want to drop that as well. I'm just wondering, how should I go about doing that? Should I include my interval training? I am also eating in the range of 1,200 to 1,500 calories per day. Thanks for everything you guys do. By the way, I listen to your show on my commute to school and love it, Maggie.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to restrain myself from singing the Rod Stewart song. Wouldn't it suck to have a name in which that was very song popular? You know, like Gloria, Maggie. Hmm.
The only Rod Stewart song I know is I Put the Speakers in the Windows When You're Home. I remember that when I was a kid.
That's
why
I made the comment, because now we have that gold.
It's fantastic.
God, Rod Stewart's awesome.
That gold. Okay. All right. So, Maggie. okay. So, you're roughly around 20% body fat. First, I'm assuming the chicken wings under the biceps, you're discussing excess tricep fat. Though not technical what you put, I'm just going to go for that and then going to say that that's what it is. So women usually, the majority of women that we see, they lose their weight last in the areas of triceps, around the hips, thighs, and glute area. Those are kind of the last to fall off spots. Without seeing a picture, I can't really say if it could be any sort of excess skin issue or if there's any sort of abnormality there that would cause it to be overly excessive. So I can't really say on that issue. As far as what kind of lean body mass you have, the amount of lean body mass that you have in relation to the amount of fat mass you have is important. So I don't know if, perhaps putting in a little bit more a focus or training into your strength. Because you mentioned intervals, you didn't really mention anything about what you're doing as a strength training program, and overall in general, just your basic strength training program could certainly help with that. But you didn't really mention any of that, so you just mentioned interval training. Best of my knowledge, I've not seen any interval training research that specifically targets tricep fat. So what I do know that targets tricep fat is decreasing overall daily caloric intake to enter into a fat loss stage or a deficit. So you could just make sure that your calories are on track. You say you're in a range of 1,200 to 1,500. I don't know if that means that you're estimating or if you really know. So basically the point is that it could just be simply lose more fat and call it a day. How you go about losing that fat is what we discuss in general, you know, basic strength training, cardio if you need, general activity, etc. So without anything more specific, I guess, there's not some sort of weird reason that you have chicken wing syndrome, then I'm going to go with the boring but age-old answer of lose more fat.
Cool.
Yeah.
Just throwing something in there too, which the question kind of made me think about, but I think for a lot of people, and I don't know why this is the case with weight loss or muscle building, because people understand inherently, like, if you want to play basketball well, you can do it, you can improve yourself, but are you going to be able to play like Jordan or even any of the guys in the NBA in general? Probably not, because there's a difference between training for something versus having innate skills and abilities that are genetically predisposed to allow you to do something at a greater level. I mean, I'm watching the Olympics right now. Doesn't matter how long I skated for, I'm not doing it like these guys are doing. You know what I mean? And I think when people enter into like, oh, I want to lose fat, I want to gain muscle, they just kind of think like, well, I'll just look like a bodybuilder if that's what I want to do, or I'll look like a, you know, track sprinter if that's what I want to do, or whatever. And the same thing applies for weight loss and muscle gain, that you'll be able to basically do what your body is capable of doing. And if you do it well, if you use proper techniques and the evidence that we have to, you know, for muscle gain or strength gain or fat loss or whatever, you'll probably do it well enough, but have realistic goals for yourself too. So just kind of thinking like, you know, she's saying, well, I've got this wiggle under the arm, and we don't know really what's going to end up, but I guess it's almost like an encouragement, like just keep at it, do what you're doing. Don't have a preset in terms of what you're going to be able to accomplish. So if you never get the triceps that you're hoping for, don't give up. Just keep at it, but have like a realistic guide for yourself too. Give yourself, you know, breakdowns per month, every other month. Where am I at? Where do I want to be? And am I going towards those goals? And are my goals realistic? I don't know. It's just kind of daydreaming while looking at that question. I don't know.
No, that was very encouraging.
I don't know. It's nice stuff.
Yeah, I have this little netbook thing. I think this is the first time I opened it in a week, but it's. I think I might actually use it for playing music while we do the show.
Nice. Next question.
Dude, I didn't even realize that it was a cartoon was the music video. Oh my god, man, that's probably why I liked it when I was a kid.
Heard Maggie May?
I probably have, but my mom's huge Rod Stewart fan when I was a kid. So we had the like this was like on a tape and I would listen to it. I like the song.
That's really cute.
The Motown song. I was like literally 3 or 4 years old.
Oh, okay. All right.
Next question. Hey guys, I just started swim practices on my high school team. I'm on JV and we will be swimming about 5,000 yards a day. Swimming helps you lose weight and that's good, but I also want to bulk up. All the guys on the swim team have super skinny bodies, but that's not what I want. I want a muscular one. Unfortunately, this is not the sport to help me with that, but I was wondering if I could do free weight workouts to build muscle as well as swim practices, or if that would be overdoing it. Thanks again. I don't know what my life would be like without you. Probably 30 pounds heavier, not on the swim team. And that's from Nick. Kev, you want to grab this one?
Sure. Well, basically, this is a really good question. And I was very fortunate to worked with a couple swimmers back in college, and I'm going to break down on a couple, go down a couple things for you, Nick. First off, you have to keep in mind that you're doing a ton of volume already with the swimming. 5,000 yards per day is nothing to, nothing to laugh at. It's quite a bit. So I think it's going to be really, really tough to get in a lot of weight training unless you can do it this way. I'm guessing you're probably going to have swim in the morning before school. And if that's the case, then obviously it would be best to lift after school. And when you put this program together, it can't be too intensive because your body will break down from all the volume. Make sure it includes shoulder rehab work. I don't know if this is something that you want to bring into college, if this is something that you want to actually kind of continue as you get older, but make sure you're doing tons of shoulder rehab stuff and a proper warm-up that is going to include shoulder mobility work. And even when I talk about the shoulder rehab stuff, talking about scapular stability work is going to be huge. And we can talk about that a little bit. It's really tough to talk about without a visual, but you can do things like hand switches, which actually is used quite a bit for the baseball players when I was working at Cressy's, but that's a great one. And in terms of the weight training, I would stick with probably it's going to have to be full body and maybe twice a week. And otherwise it's just going to be too much volume in my opinion, if you go over that, and that will still allow you to put on some lean mass. If you eat properly around it, one of the best and worst things about swimmers is that they tend to be leaner, but kind of have almost some tend to have that skinny fat look, is because they can eat whatever they want because they're doing so much activity. And in this case, they're usually younger. So I made sure that you're using proper pre and post workout nutrition when you do that lifting. And even when you're doing the swimming itself, make sure you're getting a good breakfast in before you actually jump into the pool. Don't, crawl out of bed at 5 in the morning, throw on the shoes, and then head to the pool with the rest of your team. You got to make sure you get something good to eat, although obviously not something too heavy before you go. Even just something like a glass of chocolate milk would be really good. And same thing with the pre and post-workout nutrition. Lee and I had this conversation through email, how much I'm actually loving that I'm having chocolate milk and every one of my lifting days. It's like actually quite a thing, quite a tasty thing. Sorry, I'm starting to read the chat to make sure I'm not missing anything. But and if you can do the lifting on your off days, that's when I would do it. Use that Saturday that you have off if you don't have a meet, and use that day to lift. But make sure you're also getting one day that is completely off, and just listen to how your body reacts to it. If it's too much, your body's going to tell you, and just don't ignore the signs. I don't know, does anyone else have anything to add? John, I'm guessing shoulders?
That was pretty solid. I agree 100% on the shoulders. We were just looking at that like a month or two ago on swimming injuries, and I think it's something like shoulders are above and beyond. That's where swimmers get injured. And then I think it's actually head injuries is the second, although I could be wrong.
I remember reading that too. Because they hit the water and then hit the wall,
Which is like 10 times as less frequent, mm-hmm. Shoulder injuries all over the place, just shoulders. So, you nailed it.
And just to throw out, I mean, your answer was great, but just for the guy, I think that there is something to be said that if I get the focus is on, the body, but swimming, if that is your goal, swimming is your goal, and it may not be the time to bulk, mm-hmm.
Wait for the off season, man.
Yeah, necessarily. Like, make sure that if this is something that people that are very extremely involved in their sport, unless it is a physique-based sport, kind of sometimes have to let the physique aspect fall by the wayside in some ways, as far as specifics like that, as far as bulking goes.
Not only that, if I recall from the Summer Olympics that most of the females that I know in my life were pretty glued in on the swimming events. Michael Phelps seems to be a pretty popular guy with the ladies. Yep. So I don't know if I'd worry too much about what you're going to look like. Like, keep, you know, work out for the sake of exercise, improving your sport, and for looking good. But don't worry if you're not, you know, the biggest guy in the weight room, because I don't know that that seems to matter so much.
Yeah, and there's time. There's time for it, too. You know, sometimes we have to prioritize. So just throwing that out there.
Yeah, like Dan John said, your goal is to make sure that your goal remains your goal or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So next question is for Dr. John.
Doctor. Oh, I forgot to call you doctor when I introduced you, John. Sorry about that.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I know you're – John sends me these emails every week when I don't say that. Oh, yeah. God, John, you're such
sometimes
a,
daily. In fact,
I'm
just writing emails about doctor. Just call me
before,
doctor.
Before we get to it, Kevin, you did not play the music. And that's all I'm going to say. You didn't play the music.
Oh, okay. I know.
I don't want to have this conversation again. I don't want to talk about it. I'm just saying.
Oh, crap.
So the next time you start yelling at me on air about that stuff, you didn't play the music.
Wait, for the Pink Dumbo?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I had quite a bit of editing to do last week.
I don't care. I don't care. You've yelled at me twice about it. You didn't play the music.
All right.
I'm going to the... No. Dr. John.
Son of a John.
Hi, Kevin.
I'll play it this week.
Listener since number one, Miss Dr. Williams, don't miss Jimmy Smith. Hoping Jonathan can help me with a problem that has recently developed. First off, some bio. I'm 31, 5'9", 230 pounds, 8% body fat. I used to be able to do chin-ups and pull-ups, 15 to 20 at a time. Now I cannot even start one without a searing pain where the lat attaches to the upper armpit. This pain lasts for a good minute after trying push-ups. I tried using bands for a couple weeks, using the blue iron woody one, and can do pull-ups with little pain. But as soon as I try to do full body weight, I'm afraid I'm going to tear something. Any ideas? I don't have any shoulder injuries that I know of. P.S. What up, Lee? My fiance is still following Gear Body by Eats and loves your recipes. Oh, and if Tony is actually present, tell him to stop wearing girl size t-shirts. Everett.
Yes. Awesome email.
First off, if you didn't compare yourself to Lee's blog post, I'm not going to believe the 8%, and I'm just putting that out there right now. From all now, I think we should establish a rule that if anyone puts themselves down as a body fat percentage, they must indicate that they used your blog.
I can. What I can do is I can put that in the contact us thing. I'll throw a link to Lee's. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
That's a really nice article. I liked it. There's a lot of stuff that attaches right in that general area of the armpit, and I'm going to go ahead and say that it's probably not the lat. Just going on, you know, clinical experience, lat is a tough thing to pull because it's such a large muscle. It doesn't usually occur. What tends to occur more often is something like the subscap, and the pain distribution that you're talking about, where it's directly in the armpit, is more like a subscap, less like a lat. Lats are tend to be, the pain is more at the muscle belly, and it can also radiate down the arm, interestingly enough. So people may feel like they have some kind of like weird nerve issue, and it's actually a lat, but I don't see that too often. But you know, the question is which one is having difficulty. Is it chin-ups, pull-ups, or both? Pull-ups would have you in an externally rotated position, and the subscap and the lat both internally rotate, so that makes it very likely that it's subscap. The chin-up, the muscle should be in a better position. That doesn't mean that you won't feel it there in that position either, but then maybe we're looking at some different kinds of stuff. The real answer, though, is that I really have no idea. I can't really give you any good advice here because that's a difficult thing to try to figure out just from a description alone. I think in general – I would still be looking at that shoulder rehab sort of, you know, inside out program, even, you know, the Neanderthal No More series from Eric and Mike. But in general, go to see someone, even if it's just a massage therapist that can take a look at the subscap and see if there are any, you know, trigger points or muscle knotting in there. You can also just assess yourself just by posture. Is there something going on with that shoulder that's not in the other? You know, or is that shoulder elevated, depressed? Does it just not look, you know, normal to you? If it's your dominant arm, then you might expect a small amount of depression versus the other side. It'll be a little bit lower, but it shouldn't be a lot lower. You can also have someone take a look at your back and see if they see any example of winging of the shoulder blade. That'll be a good indication that there might be something going on in that shoulder versus the other. But that's way more typical, seeing something from the subscap than from the lat, and that's probably my best advice. But other than that, it means nothing because I haven't been able to see it. So go have someone take a look at that for you, and hopefully it's something as simple as a few sessions of soft tissue work and you're back, you're good to go, and then it just becomes a matter of your scapular health and your shoulder stabilizer exercises and making sure that your flexibility is on point, and it should hopefully go away.
Oh, John, I like that.
Yeah, nice.
And also, John Williams, for people who are interested, is, believe it or not, now, I mean, since we've talked to him, married and expecting a child.
Wow.
So that's pretty awesome.
Wow.
And you can actually find him on Twitter. He's actually Twittering, and he actually has, like, very intelligent, like, he'll post, like, links to cool archaeological stuff. Oh, God. If I ever have to speak, I'm going to be in trouble. Oh, wait. And this next email is going to be awesome because people are actually grabbing onto this trend that I started or that I asked for. Lee, this question's from Darren.
Can't wait.
Good day, mates. Sorry, I wouldn't usually write this, but in your last podcast, you requested that all Aussies who write in should write this. I am continually working on my fat loss goals, particularly the love handles, and I'm finding it difficult to work off those handles and belly fat. Overall, I am getting there and watching what I eat and doing different workouts 4 to 5 times per week, such as sprint training with push-up, plank, burpee intervals, outdoor gym circuits with pull-ups, dips, etc., bodyweight stuff, boxing, and I recently bought a TRX, which my girlfriend and I love to work out with together. However, summing all this up, even with my advances to date, I'm finding it hard to cut the handles, the love handles, body fat off. Do you guys have any suggestions on further conditioning and or strength training that I could do to cut the fat off for good? Cheers.
Well, Darren, I'll try to elaborate more than I maybe, especially, you know, when you hear Dr. Fass speak, sometimes like you feel following that, you know, you've got to give more to it. So, you know, what I think that we need to discuss here is I'm going to point out a few things about what you wrote. As far as fat loss goes, and granted, I may be playing a broken record that people are trying to hear, but the truth of the matter is that it is as simple as, you know, you have to watch what you eat. It is all about the diet, especially when you get down to the love handle belly fat area for guys. It's about especially dialing in on the diet. You know, when we look at weight loss and research and also just, you know, what we experience in our training and things like that, we see that the small changes, you know, making sure you're eating protein at every meal, making sure your post-workout nutrition is, you know, on key and things like that, making sure those little tiny changes that are just good for our health and good for things like that, they end up making moderate changes and also our appearance. But there always becomes kind of a tapping point to where those changes from eating pizza or you know, McDonald's or whatever, you know, you Aussies might have out there, that usually ends up tapping out. It usually ends up, you know, you hit a plateau or you can't really dial in on that last bit. So we have to turn to more sometimes anal methods or more specific methods. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to count your calories. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to weigh food or do anything like that. But, you know, it can be as simple as you removing an item, eating the same thing, you know, or eating similar things all the time and just simply removing a higher caloric item and seeing if that can make a difference. Whatever strategy it is that you use to decrease the caloric intake of what it is that you're doing is up to you. But I think that is one of those things that you need to look at. Perhaps, you know, you could find areas where you could see a little bit of decrease in intake. Or you can say, I don't want to decrease my intake. I like what I'm eating, and you can increase movement. There's always a catch to those kind of things. Decreasing intake means, you're getting less nutrient value. Increasing movement with less caloric intake means that you can increase the chance of injury, recovery issues, how you feel, stamina, things like that. So you need to look at your situation and go, am I going the max speed that I can go? If so, is this a patience thing? Is this I just need to kind of allow time to take its course? And I may be losing fat very slowly. It's getting towards the end. This may be 0.5 pounds a week at best, and I need to be happy with that. Because my body and my will, whatever it may be, it can't give any more than this. And simply focus on doing activities you like, doing the training you like. You know, like, for example, you say you bought the TRX. I'm a really big fan of suspended trainers. There's so many variants that you can do with it. If you're keeping your activity up and you're keeping progressive training, then chances of you hitting a plateau in conditioning isn't as likely. Just remember that every workout, there should be an increase and some sort of judgment of what you're doing. Make sure that you're always, you know, progressing towards the next area of your training, and therefore plateaus kind of constantly are broken by that method alone. So I guess, you know, my overall drive point is it is about the diet. You have to dial in the diet on some level and create that balance. How you create that balance is kind of up to you and your personal preference and what it is that you need to do. If you're wanting to be more anal, then you can weigh and measure within an inch of your life and do all those things. And it does work. And you know, you have the potential of getting there faster. That's the payoff for doing things like that. But if not, make some more adjustments to your diet. Make sure to keep increasing in your training, and that it's matching your activity level. And if you do that, if it's slow coming, it may just be the way it is. And, you know, the little engine that could, you know, and just keep up the positive consistency and you will get there.
So. I'm just going to echo a lot of that stuff that, you know, once you get towards that end, that finish line, it tends to get a lot hotter psychologically as well. So,
oh, well, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, and it's a great point. And physiologically speaking, you know, the closer you get, and I don't know how close you are, but the closer you get, physiologically speaking, we have more things to battle it as well. You know, it may be time to put in strategic refeeds. Mm-hmm. You know, it may be time to you know, make your break times longer. You have to put in deloads more. I mean, there's all types of things that are involved in it, but yeah, for a general answer, but yeah. But John...
Dr. Yeah. Joe,
I have a question for you.
Oh, well, go right ahead. That's what I'm here for, Lee.
Hi, FitCast crew. I am recovering from an operation on my elbow. Simple ulnar. Did I say that right? Ulnar?
Ulnar.
Ulnar. Nerve
that decompression. He has the last name of a Ghostbuster, I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. John. He has the last name of a Ghostbuster. Okay, I'm recovering from an operation on my elbow, simple ulnar nerve decompression surgery, and I would like to know if there's a certain tricep exercises I should avoid. I'm particularly concerned with the exercises which might aggravate this injury, e.g. skulls, dips, etc. My neurosurgeon said I would be able to resume my normal workouts after 6 week time, but gave no suggestions regarding such exercises. Best regards, Nick Spangler.
Dr. Spangler.
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, it's a fairly simple operation, and they basically just make a very small incision at the elbow and the outside of the elbow, and you just basically clean out the gunk in there and put everything back together. They do more like a little bit more complicated surgeries, they can have ulnar transposition where they actually move the nerve. But most of the time, there's just something putting pressure on the nerve itself, and it's causing, you know, kind of tingling sensations and things like that. So it's a pretty common surgery. The six weeks is basically soft tissue healing time frames. So for simple procedures like that, you're looking at like 6 to 8 weeks or so. 6 weeks is probably on the mark. And afterwards, you should basically be okay to do just about anything. I can't tell you exactly what to do or not to do, other than to let pain be your guide. So for while it's healing, you basically just want to, you know, keep the range of motion that you have in your elbow so that you're not holding it locked out. You don't want to lose range, and that can happen. But otherwise, you're not trying to lift anything heavier or do anything really strenuous in terms of activity. And that's probably the post-op guidelines that he gave you. He probably gave you like a sheet of things that, you know, lift 5 to 10 pounds, no more, that sort of thing. But after the healing is done, there's really no true contraindication. So just let pain be your guideline. Go into it gently. So don't go right back to the weights that you were lifting or the volumes. You know, you maybe just want to do one or two sets of a lighter weight of any type of arm exercise that you would do. Obviously, anything like push-ups or bench press, same sort of thing. Just go into it gradually and easily and make sure that you don't have pain. And it won't necessarily be because you'll damage anything, but if there is pain, you can have a reflexive shutoff of muscle, so you could actually be, you know, if you're doing a push-up and your arm gives out, you want to avoid stuff like that. So, but otherwise, you should be relatively safe after that 6 to 8 week period. So no real contraindications other than what you're capable of doing at the time. Good? Okay, we're good.
Good. No one has, good.
Okay.
Just trying to keep it streamlined, John.
I've got you. Good day, team. Next question. All right, we're from Australia. I'll try. I have a question about fibromyalgia and how it affects exercises. A fat loss client of mine was recently diagnosed with the condition. The recommendations I was given for her routine were 10-minute stretches, 5 to 10 minutes of strength work, 30-minute aerobic work, 10-minute stretches. Where strength work is classified as 6 to 8 reps of low-intensity submaximal work and aerobic is all steady state. Being neural fatigue, I understand why an individual should not be doing neurally taxing work like 6-rep maxes or sprints.
It falls apart.
Will not assist in recovery or relaxation. However, it is still ultimately frustrating as she wants to keep on track with her goals but feels she can't. We have been doing some work with metabolic circuits made out of mobility exercises, but true to form, she's buggered after three rounds. Ooh, buggered. She's buggered after three rounds of five moments. And the effect it has on her is the same as strength work. Bit of a background. She's maybe 5'10 and 154 pounds, converting from the metric here, but 30% body fat. Any assistance you can provide would be much appreciated. Kind regards, Kieran from Australia.
Oh. God, I want to go to the Outback Steakhouse so bad.
I don't know how you just survive walking down the streets in Delaware, being as awesome as you are, John Fass.
Dude, blame Lost. They got a bunch of Aussie actor accent people there.
Oh, dude. God, man. Speaking of that, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
All right. When it comes to this disorder, chronic fatigue disorder, things like that, the research on it is very interesting. My experience with it has been interesting. So I'm going to give you a little mix of anecdotal and research, in my opinion, of both. Obviously, you know, make sure everything that you're doing with her is cleared with her physician and that you know what's going on with her medication, because medications for fibromyalgia can range. They can be anything from very mild things that don't affect state or being very much to just downright narcotics that knock people out. So it can affect the training that you do. I've worked with people that are on severe narcotics for fibromyalgia, and it severely altered the training that we could do and just their state in general. So I think that it should be very clear. Your communication with your client should be very, very clear, and you should make it very just keep the communications open there. So when we look at the research for fibromyalgia, we don't really know an exact cause. We don't know how much of it is completely neural related, how much is mental, and as far as that there's lots of links that talk about how much of a mental condition it can be. There's a lot about electrolyte balances that we look at as well. So when we have something like this that's all over the place, when we don't really know the reasoning, and when the diagnoses of this are so over the place, and it's not as if that you can just do a blood test and say you got fibromyalgia. This is a collective of questions, symptoms. People get diagnosed with it often that may just be suffering from chronic fatigue or may just be suffering from depression. My point being is that since it's such an across the board problem, and because it's really dependent on doctor and diagnosis and what's going on in your city, state, country, area, etc., any sort of generic program or description of something to do can be very fitting, or it could be very unfitting depending upon the case or the situation. I have found that the best thing that you can do when working with someone that has chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia or dealing with any sort of pains in their body is first and foremost general activity and assigning really strong homework to them. And anyone that's listening as well that may be dealing with this, I mean, obviously it's the same thing too, but assigning really strong homework and making sure that movement throughout the day, collective movement, soft tissue work, general just training and activity as much as possible is incredibly, it helps a lot with improving these kind of issues that people are dealing with, and to keep things going both in the mental and physical capacity. Any client that I have that's dealing with these issues, I always assign lots of homework and lots of movement throughout the day. Usually a lot of fibromyalgia patients or clients have steady or sedentary jobs, so much that they're sitting a lot. So I make sure to assign to them that they have to get up in intervals, and they have to do, just as much as they can do comfortable in whatever area they're at, be it just getting up and doing a few, just stretches, neck movements, left to right, just literally simple as up, down, left, right, a couple of scapula, rotate, just anything that causes them to just get out of their steady, I've been sitting kind of comfort, just little side bends, anything that can do that. And of course, the more specific you get, better, and the more specific towards your client and their issues, if they have any sort of postural issues or things like that, the better. But general movements are good. Soft tissue work at home is good. And then with the actual specific training, it's really no different than you're going to be dealing with anybody else. You want progressive movement. You want to deal with their posture. Usually people with fibromyalgia, though, I've found have more lean to the side of bad posture than other people. So focusing and being sure to focus on your assessment. You don't have to be an amazing PT like John Fast, but focusing on your assessment and making sure you're not just, you should never be doing this anyway, but really making sure that you don't just throw something together, really making sure that you're trying to focus on where they might have weaknesses, and ask them to explain if they're having any pain in a movement, and if they see any sort of decrease or increase of tension or pain, ask them about their delayed onset muscle soreness. It's usually a lot worse. And even though you may have very extreme limitations as far as diet and recommendations, I have personally found that having them get involved on that side of things helps tremendously, specifically with pre- and post-workout nutrition. And there's a lot of research that looks at vitamin D deficiencies and fibromyalgia. Some people have seen dramatic increases from just taking large doses of that. She could talk to her doctor about that, and you could tell her to kind of look into that, as well as making sure she's getting proper electrolytes. So, I mean, it's a very big topic, and it's a very broad thing, but But basically, the actual training isn't that different, in my opinion. I don't train extremely different. You know, same kind of movements. You know, full body work, starting off, things like that, and then you can move into specializations. But I think the really big key is making it very clear that staying moving as much as possible, walks after meals, and all those kind of really simple things that we often neglect because we're looking for optimization are so important for cases like this. So just make sure to provide your homework and to do those kind of things. And if you're suffering from that and you're listening to it this, then make sure to do those things as well and keep that up. So, okay. Yeah. Kevin.
What's
wow,
up?
There's a lot of Aussies.
I told
today.
You.
And I'm not even attempting. So, because I just can't even. Good day, A. Hey, guys. It's Brandon from Vancouver, an Aussie living in Canada, hence the mismatch intro. Great podcast. I learn a lot every week from you guys, and I'm really thinking of becoming a trainer now. I enjoy coaching baseball and soccer, and I am in one of those what career would really satisfy me stages. Anyways, my question is, how do you avoid having crap workouts? I work hard in the gym, but every now and then I walk out disappointed in myself for not working harder. I know that it's the inevitable that sometimes this will happen, but lately it's happened a couple more times than I would like. What do you do to prepare so this won't happen again? Or if it does happen one day, how do you adjust so that it doesn't happen in the next section? I really appreciate the service you provide in the fitness community. And top of the morning to you, you old geezer, Brandon.
Brandon, I'm 24 years old, dude.
Old yeah. geezer.
So, I mean, unless he means you, John.
Could be.
So, it's a great question, and it's something that we get from time to time, but I think it's worth bringing up again. You know, a couple of things I go over is that, okay, here's the staples, the basics that obviously, you know, listening to music that's going to, you know, get you pumped up and ready to lift. I talked a little bit about this on my personal podcast. That's where we're talking like that. But on the other podcast when talked about some Rise Against, you know, some Linkin Park, like stuff like that, whatever gets you going. And also having a crew to lift with. I know Lee talked a lot in the past about, is it meetup.com?
Yes.
Meetup.com is great for finding people to lift with in your area. And since you're in Vancouver, you shouldn't have much trouble. That's a pretty populated area. And caffeine spike. You know, I think spike is something that people, if you can tolerate caffeine and you like getting that boost, I have no problem with that. I don't recommend it to my clients, but if, you know, a cup of black coffee, but you know, the one thing I want to focus on here is maybe you just need to do something different. It sounds like you might, you know, some people tend to get bored with their workouts, and you should never go into the gym, you know, not looking forward to lifting. Maybe cardio sometimes, but you know, she kind of what?
Which nothing. Just gotta. You should always look forward to lifting. Cardio, whatever. Forward to lifting.
No, but I, you know, I totally think that, you know, if you're gonna go in there and do CrossFit, you should be pumped up to do CrossFit, and that's why you do it. If you're going in to go, you know, do 8 heavy singles of deadlifting, you should be pumped up to do that because that's what you like to do. And if you're gonna, you know, just not like I literally get excited to lift every time before I lift. I am excited. I'm like, yes, I'm gonna, like, especially upper body days. You know, I'm telling you, Brendan, you should be pumped for every upper body day when you get to bench or do pull ups or, you know, finish off with some bicep curls. That should be exciting. Like, that should be fun. And, you know, you should look forward to that. And if you need a little extra motivation, you know, just throw a couple at you. I think, no, if it was a take-home point, I would say also, yeah, look at your program. Are you doing something that you like to do? Because you're not going to really succeed in doing a program that you have to force yourself into the gym to do, you know? And that's just the way I feel. I don't know. Anyone else, do you have any other motivating factors, guys?
Well, I think that you could certainly look at too, you know, if it is something kind of abnormal, you know, there is such a thing as getting burned out. Make sure that you're not, you know, make sure that look at your training program. You shouldn't be piddling. You should always have some sort of template. And I am very guilty of piddling, by the way. So I'm kind of guilty of this myself, but you should have some sort of template and basis of your progression. And if you don't, then get on that. And if you do, then look at it. How long have you been lifting? Is it time to maybe, you know, do a deload week? You know, sometimes, I believe Lou Schuler said this recently. He said, sometimes you just need to go to the gym and just have fun and not worry about all of it too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could be that it's just time to go have some fun. Maybe pick up something there. You know, maybe kind of see, you know, if it gets mundane sometimes for set. I personally get very bored. I love training and I love stuff like that. But if I just went into the gym every day and just did lifts after lifts after lifts, to me, that's boring. I can't stand that. I want to die. So I like to mix it up, and I like to do more challenges to myself. And I like to do body weight challenges and to see what I can do with throwing myself around in ways that I'm hopefully can do when I'm 40 as well, because I don't know what I'm going to do then. But, you know, it's just, you know, have fun with it. And I definitely agree that as much as you can get someone else involved too, it's so much easier to stay pumped when you have somebody with you. It's sometimes it's hard to self-motivate. No matter how much you love this, no matter how much it's your job, sometimes it's just hard. And when you have somebody with you, so
keep the cell phone away from you. Like, you should never be checking yeah. email in between sets like that.
No.
That will never. Just bore the crap out of you and you'll just be drained. Well, we're going to pause for a quick second. We'll be right back after a very short break, so stick around. Okay, we're back for the final question that we have that we're going to kind of turn into a roundtable. It's from Jason, a regular listener of the FitCast, and this is, I should say, was addressed to John. A regular listener of the FitCast and love the work you guys are doing, so keep it up. I just had a question which I hope you don't mind answering. I was browsing around your website and came across your contact us form, which I found both impressive and interesting because, like you, I am expanding in my training operations online and I'm going to be training people over the internet. I was just wondering how you keep track of your online progress, clients' progress, and whether you think it matters that you probably don't go through an initial assessment. I was also wondering how long you hold onto your typical online clients and how you keep them interested and enrolled in the training program. Do you find programming from a distance difficult? I hope it's not too much to answer, as I know you're a busy guy. Cheers, Jason.
Yeah, and I got this question. I thought it was really interesting, and I thought actually we could all probably have a couple of interesting comments for it, which is why I thought maybe it'd be a better question for all of us.
No, I just didn't want to type back. That's all right, John.
Yeah, I just didn't want to type back. So I guess I'll start. Yeah, I mean, online training is an interesting sort of thing. I've always maintained that, you know, online training will never be as good as in-person training, but online training from someone that knows what they're doing can probably be in many ways better than in-person training from someone that has no clue what they're doing. And I think that's where you kind of determine what's appropriate for you. You know, you're going to save a ton of money with online training for most coaches or whatever, as opposed to an in-person where you see a personal trainer 1 to 3 times a week on average, and that can be something like $60 to $90 a pop. And I think most online trainers are probably going to be like somewhere between like $100 and $200 for the month, I would say, on average. So you're going to save a ton of money that way. So what do we do? Let's see. Well, keeping track of online clients, usually I have a biweekly form. So every other week I ask them to fill out a form, you know, pictures, can be videos as well. Specific set questions, you know, how is your training? How is your nutrition? Aches, pains, you know, kind of general questions that you would ask that they get to give you feedback on. And and you get a better idea of how in general the workouts are going. In addition, of course, you're always getting emails, or even, you know, some people do phone consultations or whatever they're comfortable with. So you're trying to stay in contact with your online clients as much as is reasonable. I think also, and I also do like an end of phase report, so they can then take a step back and say, in entirety, you know, did you like this phase? Did you not? What was good? What was bad? Did you get closer to your goals? Did you get, you know, did you achieve marks? Things like that. So you're trying to constantly assess your work and how it worked for your clients. And that's how I generally do it. The initial assessment is pretty much a Q&A sort of thing. I have an entire form that they fill out that's far more complicated than that initial feedback form. That's just kind of, that's there to give me a basic understanding of who might be contacting me. But before they ever begin anything with me, they have like a full medical screen questionnaire sort of thing and all kinds of questions and in their history of exercise. And the one thing, I do get fairly selective in who I take. I don't carry many online clients at all. And the reason being is I have to feel comfortable that this is appropriate for the client. So if they're brand new, it's not, I don't feel that it's appropriate to be seeing an online personal trainer or whatever. You should probably see someone in person. They should be experienced, you know, minimal types of injuries, anything more than like aches or pains, they really need to see someone in person. So it's got to be something very specific. That's where I draw my lines. So as far as the initial assessment, it'll be pictures, videos of movement, as much as I can see and evaluate without actually having to be there, is what I'll do. And as much as information as the potential client can give me, it's more the better. How long I typically keep on to clients, I've had some for years. Like 4 years, I think, 5 years. I mean, basically ever since I started doing that, I've had certain clients have stuck with me the whole time, which is amazing. I'm always grateful to that. That's like ridiculous. How I keep them interested, I guess the proof is in the pudding, right? I mean, if they're getting the results, if they enjoy the workouts, that's what keeps them, you know, as a client. I've always maintained, I think we all do, that you try to educate a client for the idea that one day they don't need you. So you certainly will lose clients when they, you know, they feel like they're capable of doing it on their own, and that's a great thing. But I think otherwise you constantly reinventing what they're doing, progressing their goals, changing focus, just keeping it interesting and new but not gimmicky. You know what I mean? Because in the end of the day, did they lift more? Did they get thinner? Did they, you know, do what they're after? That's their goal. But the inventive, creative ways that you can do that, if it's periodization, if it's exercises, if it's weights, if it's whatever kind of stuff that you're throwing in there, if they enjoy the workouts, they'll keep coming back. And as far as programming distance, there are some things that are easy and there are some things that are difficult. It's with anything. I really enjoy it because it really challenges how you program and the way that you write programs and how you analyze things. So I've actually found it to be very beneficial to what I do, or at least used to do one-on-one. But certainly, I mean, you know, someone says, hey, I got hurt in the gym today. You don't know how they did that because you're not there. And so that can be challenging in terms of how do you correct this? When do you refer out and things like that. But I think ultimately, if you feel comfortable in attempting something like that, it'll make you a better trainer because it expands your repertoire of what you can do and the experiences that you have.
I'm a little bit newer to this than Lee and John, but I'll throw in my two cents really quickly before Lee jumps in. But there's a couple of things that I like to do. I mean, I'm very lucky. I've had a little bit extra free time. So what I generally do is offer a couple of things, and you can go to kevinlarby.com if you're interested.
Plug.
It's been very interesting. Believe it or not, since I started blogging, it's just kind of been like an explosion of people asking for, mm-hmm. you know, because I never talk about kevinlarby.com because I never used it. But The couple things that I do kind of offer up is just, you know, a 30-minute conversation on the phone twice a month, because I feel like if, you know, through email, you know, people, you tend to not get the whole story. You know, through the phone, you can actually, you know, ask follow-ups right there, and you can kind of get a better idea of what's going on. So I'm a big fan of that. Just, you know, even just saying, you know, like, kind of like, what's bugging you? Like, what's new? Like, not necessarily always talking about the training, but kind of see, you know, what are the, you know, things outside of the gym or outside of the kitchen that can, you know, can be affecting what they're doing, and, you know, how are they dealing with the social aspect of it as well? Because that is, that's quite a big part of it. You know, it sucks. On Thursday night, a bunch of my coworkers went out for pizza, and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to go there. Mm-hmm. Just because I psychologically just don't want to be, you know, watching you guys eat buffalo chicken pizza while I, you know, quickly make something to eat in my car, eat like a little sandwich. So, you know, that's part of it. And like John and I'm sure Lee and I, you know, I can definitely speak as I consider myself one of Lee's online clients, because she's helped me so much with the nutrition side of things. And, you know, a lot of the times, you know, you kind of know what to do, but you need someone to tell you what to do, so you have a plan to stick to. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, and you invest the time and the money to get that plan, you're more likely to stick to that. And I think finally, the last thing I'll say, one of the big component is seeing what your clients like to do. You know, what are they going to like to do? If especially when you talk about longevity of keeping a client, you know, ask them, what do you like to do for training? What do you not like to do for training? And, you know, if you give them a program that has a bunch of barbell complexes on it and they can't stand them, they're going to be like, yeah, I'm actually going to go, I'm not going to be renewing. So make sure you keep that in mind when you do that stuff. And then I'll pass it off to Lee. It's just my quick thing. Lee Peel. All right, I think we're going to have to pause for a second because the phone just rang in my house, which means the internet. All right, we're back. My mom picked up the phone, so now we can talk to Lee. Lee, what's up?
Amazing.
Yeah, I agree with you, Kevin, and John. And I think that we all kind of work basically off the same system. I don't do any online training at the moment. I am planning on doing some in the future. When I did it in the past, and the reason I'm going to be doing it in the future, and since John covered just everything as far as like how technically I, you know, would do things as well, basically. One of the things that I found, And I'm sure Kevin or John can jump in on this too, is that there's something almost, not to say more special about online clients, but sometimes attentive and motivated, I find, with online clients. And,
well, especially
and perhaps,
if they follow you, you know, they're into it.
Yeah, you know, perhaps it's because of the forum of what this is, and we do these shows, and, you know, they read our blogs or whatever, and they follow the work that we do. But the dedication sometimes that I get from my online clients versus the dedication I can get sometimes from my in-person clients is sometimes a world of difference. Because sometimes the work that I do in person, like, for example, what I was doing recently was kind of a scheduled contract work. It was different than anything I'd ever done before. I didn't get clients coming in where I say, hi, how are you? Would you like to work together, et cetera? And we go do our thing. I was getting people that I was kind of assigned to help. And it's not something I'm not a fan of doing that. Because you really are just, you don't know what you're going to get. It can be kind of wish-washy attitude. They, you know, some of the people I worked with didn't even want to be doing what they were doing, but they were just kind of doing it because they had to or because it's what they need to do. Mm-hmm. And there's a lack of motivation. There's a lack of drive. There's a lack of discipline and listening to what it is that you're saying. There's challenging sometimes. And, you know, but when you take on someone who this is what they want, and they're coming to you because this is exactly what it is that they want, and I would take less money, you know, for that dedication any day of the week, and I would take distance over in person over that any day of the week. So there certainly can be, as speaking from a trainer position, There certainly can be just as much, if not more, of a connection and dedication from an online client than there can be from an in-person client. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to throw that out there. And one of the reasons that I am moving into doing some more online or distance stuff is because of that. I personally love to do consults, because not that I don't do training or do workout assignments. I do that. And I have done that and I will do that. I find that there's a lot of people who need, at least in the beginning, like John said, like a beginner client, a lot of hands-on training, but that there are some people that need guidance in that, and guidance in what to choose, and maybe how to go about doing that. So I think that consults are great because you can sit on the phone with someone and you can say, okay, this is where you're at. This is maybe kind of the next step that you need to take. It's almost like a career counselor. In some ways, you know, it's like, you know, this is what you're kind of looking at right now. This is my profession. I'm good at it. This is my knowledge of it. Here's some information and application. Go apply. Go run and be free, little one, and do your thing. And you know, that in itself can be amazingly helpful. And just a simple, you know, 30-minute hour consult can put someone on the exact track that they need to go. So I think that that's something that people can look into in a distance sense as well, is consults and doing that kind of stuff. And it can be amazingly helpful. And then as far as programming go, when I actually do programming or training for someone, I'm very anal. I need pictures. I need, mm-hmm. I need to know where your mother lives. I mean, I need everything under the sun, because I feel like I am handicapped to a certain level. I feel like that, you know, I only can know so much. So it's, you know, weekly, sometimes biweekly check-ins. Even some people, it can depend. In the beginning, I'll do daily check-ins. It just depends on the need and the cause and, you know, what level of athleticism they're trying to keep up with, or what level of body recomposition they're trying to achieve. It just varies and depends. But I think the point that all three of us have in common is the ability to rotate and move what we do to correlate with what the client needs, instead of being boxed. I don't think any three of us are boxed, where we're just going to say, hey, here's our personal training template site where you sign in and you get your, you know, animated GIF movements and, you know, call it a day. You know, here's just a couple of, you know, a basic tip that no different than going to the bookstore and buying New Rules of Lifting, which is a great book, great program, nothing wrong with it. But it is generic. And why pay someone for generic?
Yeah. So I've actually recommended that on people if they contact me. I'm like, you don't need a personal program. You just need a program. Go buy this book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and it's just, if you're going to the point of paying someone hundreds of dollars online, and if you're going to the point of being a trainer online, and you're going to do something like that, because let's be honest, there are people that shouldn't do that kind of thing and listen to the knowledge, then I think that you need to understand that this is, it's beyond the point of generic. And you need to do everything that you can to make it not generic for that client and give them what, you know, they deserve for the money that they're paying, and treat them no different than you would treat them if you were in person, if not more so attentive. I know that I spent way more time on online clients when I was doing them than I did with in-person clients. It took longer. Emails were longer, random phone calls, and, you know, it was exhausting, which is why I stopped it, because I couldn't do both on the level I was doing it. So yeah, I think that it's a great thing. I think that you can do it. I just think that people need to realize when you're doing it, that how involved it is, and that the results are in the pudding. John Fast, love that you use the pudding. And just make sure that you're being attentive to your clients. Yeah, but yeah, I'm all for online training. I think that it can be great. And I know that Fast has made some amazing online training stuff. I mean, I've heard a lot from his clients before, and they're always amazed. And I've seen some of the assessments he can do from afar, and it's incredible.
I think, I mean, it was something that we'll definitely talk a lot more about down the road. I just... And it's funny, we brought up that body fat percentage thing. I just got a new online client, and she is like, yeah, I want to look like this picture from Lee Peel's body fat percentage article. I'm like, all right, yeah, we can do that. Let's do it. So, go ahead.
Oh, I was being funny. I said do it, but
cool. But in all that stuff, I think one of the biggest take home things is obviously communication, and you can never have too much information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's you know, it's not weird giving out my cell phone number to these people. They know they can call me whenever they need to, but it's kind of a cool thing. And it's I love that point you brought up. People who do online, you know, training, those are the people that tend to want it the most. Like that's
there yeah. is like I was talking to
I never thought about that, but it you know, it makes so much damn sense.
I was talking to Alan Aragon about that. And the only reason I name drop is because it was where the aha kind of came from. And he does, just for the record, to pimp Alan, he does online consults.
Yeah.
You know, and he does great stuff too. And he has a very similar philosophy that I have as well. And he's very attentive to his online clients. And we were talking about it, and it's just, there's something about the online clients that the dedication to it and the reward of it is just sometimes, I'm not saying that knocking my in-person clients, but having recently worked in a completely different kind of atmosphere, which perhaps can be, you know, like John, his atmosphere is complete. It's not the same. What he's doing now is not as like, you know, hey, let me handpick this client that I want to train. Cause I used to, you know, kind of, you know, just handpick clients. And if I didn't like working with someone, I'd say later and call it a day. And I don't want to work with you cause you're not dedicated. And cause I'm very, very perfectionist and I don't like to be sometimes, but it is why I guess I am good at what I do. But, this recent experience kind of had me with my hands tied behind my back, and I find myself just being like, my God, like I would much rather work with these people who are asking me to work with them online than do what I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. I found myself in a dilemma. And so I think there's something about it sometimes, and there is this dedication and reward to it. And yeah. And I think that's kind of what makes it fun. It makes it fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've not every single time for every single, you know, client when I was, you know, full-time training and stuff, but I very often, you know, would say like I get better results out of my online clients than I do in my in-person, because the online clients actually do what I ask them to do.
Yeah.
You know? And a lot of times in-person, and again, it's not for every in-person client, it's not for every online client, but, and I think it has to do a lot with, you know, and that's the self-selection. I mean, it's like if you're taking online clients that do have experience and are saying, I've worked this hard and now I want that next level, they're probably pretty already dedicated. And it's also a matter of it being very simple to say to online clients that aren't pulling their weight, saying, look, you're wasting your money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not doing what I'm asking of you, and you're not getting the results because, you know, I don't know why. I don't know if it's because of my programming or your inconsistency. And if you're being inconsistent, then you're not, you know, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Whereas in person clients, it's kind of like this might be the only exercise they get. So the fact that they're showing up is probably money well spent for them. And yeah. If they're blowing it the rest of the week, at least they're there. You know, it's just different mentalities, different reasons for people to pursue an in-person versus online client. So you definitely can get some very amazing results out of online clients. And it doesn't always happen the same way in person. But again, it's sometimes you get amazing results in person. Yeah. So.
Great point about the exercise.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to wrap this puppy up, and this is for you, John, and for you, Lee. That's right, iPhone, what up? Coming through. John, what are you up?
Wow. Spangler, because he was a Ghostbuster reference.
Yeah.
Crazy. Hi. Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's it for this.
Although, actually, Everett called out Tony, and that was funny, too.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Small t-shirts.
I like small t-shirts. Everyone wins today. There were good questions
this week.
Everyone's
the winner.
So, yeah, there were good questions this week.
Yep. So, they were. And I'm sorry, I'm just reading something. So, we're going to wrap up this week's episode. Please don't forget, you can send in questions to questions@thefitcast.com. You can also go to the contact contact us section of theficast.com. Up there, we're going to be posting updates throughout the week. And you can also check out kevinlarabee.com, plug, for the blogging that I'm doing there. Hopefully, you will all get to check it out and give me your feedback. Let me know what you want to see and what you like, what you don't like. And also, what else do we have? We have John's doing some stuff. Lee's at leepeel.com. And subscribe through iTunes. Submit a review on iTunes. What else? Is that it? Is that everything? Did we cover it?
I think so.
I feel satisfied.
That's what she said. See you next time. Have a great week, guys.
Oh, fantastic. Well played, sir.
All right, welcome to the off-topic discussion. Kevin, Lee, and John. And John's eating some nuts. What's up, John?
I'm not. I finished eating my nuts.
Oh, you did?
No longer eating nuts.
No longer eating nuts.
I'm making some Good Earth green tea up in this bitch. It's really good. I actually got a tweet from Good Earth Green Tea yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they liked my review.
Oh.
You were acknowledged by the company of Good Earth?
I was actually, yeah, the Twitter account of Good Earth. So that's like the intern for Good Earth Green Tea.
Wow, you are feisty today.
Well, I don't know, or the social networking person at,
God. Maybe it's the president of the company. You don't know, Kevin Larrabee.
If it was, that would be pretty awesome. And I would be like, hey, do you want to sponsor a podcast and send me free tea? That'd be awesome.
It would be awesome.
Because I bought like literally 12 boxes of this tea off Amazon. It's really good. Blogged about it.
Like to hear it. Here we go.
Lee, what have you been up to? You been doing anything off topic?
No. Life is work.
Yeah, I'm a workaholic. I've joined a group for it. It's going great. Meeting lots of people. Not having any sex. It's awesome.
Awesome.
It's a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah. And just like that, this became the greatest off topic in the history of the Fitcast.
I got some good news. My Amazon Visa card limit just got increased to $3,600 this week.
Right.
Oh my God, Kevin, like you need an intervention.
What's that?
I'm just saying.
Intervention of what?
You need an Amazon credit card intervention.
Why? I pay it off the day after I pay it off like every 3 days. Plus I have auto pay in case I forget.
Wow.
I never have a balance on the thing. I just like buy a lot.
That's very responsible.
And screw Chase because they more or less, they don't send me Amazon gift cards anymore. I guess that was for like, I'm only allowed to get like $250 in gift cards, and then that's it.
Bastards.
I'm like, wow, guess what? Buddy. Well, if I wasn't so damn lazy, I would cancel the credit card and just go with someone else. But it's $3,600.
Why don't you just get another credit card and not cancel this one?
I don't know.
That's good for credit standings. Diversity of
yeah, but I'm not into that stuff yet. I'm not like... My mom does my taxes, guys. Let's be serious.
My dad does mine. It's called TurboTax.
TurboTax, yeah. They have a TurboTax account. And now I'm like getting... Oh, man, I'm not even going to get into that. But I, you know what I've been doing is I went through the first half of... The stupid thing, Stargate Universe, they released the first half of the season on Blu-ray. It was like $50 on Amazon for 10 episodes of a TV show. I'm like, wow. Screw you. I bought every season of their goddamn show. I have 15 seasons of Stargate plus 3 versions of the original movie. And I'm like, yeah, Netflix.com/screw Stargate. And I just got them through Netflix and I'm sending them right back.
The Lord's name in vain for Stargate.
Wow.
Did I? Dude, that's some serious S. And I'm watching, and I'm like, I'm trying to get through it because today's Transporter 3 Day. Every week I've been watching a Transporter movie, and today's Transporter 3 Day, and I still have to play Bioshock 2. I have to write literally 6 programs today. I have to obviously edit this podcast. I have to I'm play the violin, guys. It's time. But I got my Good Earth Green Tea, sponsored by Good Earth Green Tea. And
Are you allowed to say sponsored if you're not sponsored?
Nope. I'm not sponsored by Good Earth Green Tea.
Sure.
Or someone. I wish we could get like a... You know, you ever watch TV, guys, and see a commercial and you just want to punch that commercial in the face?
Yes.
Do you ever get that? I'm like, oh my God, I wish you were a real thing so I could punch you in the face.
Most of the E-Trade baby commercials.
Oh, thank you, John Fass.
Yeah. I hate those things.
And for some reason, they spend like millions of dollars to put them on the Super Bowl. Yeah. Oh, I feel better now. I had a lot of caffeine yesterday.
That was a nice rant.
Carpet steaming commercials, like the Stanley Steamer commercials.
Oh.
Yeah.
Stanley
I see that
Steamer.
Commercial. I want it. Well, it's the one with the dog that like scrapes his butt across the carpet. That's been, like a YouTube.
Oh,
well,
no, that's
that kind
of funny.
No. It, when she yells Toby, I think that I want to like jump out of a window. Like, seriously.
Do you guys have the Car for Kids commercials on your radio?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, I'm sorry, kids, but if I ever have a car, I'm just going to be using it to like run over whoever made that ad.
I've not seen this.
Yeah, it's like, it's an
8777 like, cars for kids.
Yeah.
Oh,
and I'm like, wow, your kids aren't getting any of my help.
It is a little annoying.
I'm going to trade in my car and get a new one just because of that commercial. But I did just donate a big bunch of thing of clothes, so I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm still on the good side. You know, I'm a little bit of a renegade, though. Hey, man, Lee, I'm losing a lot of weight quickly. This is fun. It is. Yeah, I am.
You always do when you put your mind to it. You know you do.
That's what Doc Brown always said. Your mind to it, you can accomplish anything.
You will slip it in at no cost.
Did I tell you I'm wearing a t-shirt that says Flux on it and has a flux capacitor on it?
Right now?
Yeah. That's pretty wicked.
I got it at Christmas. It was awesome. Oh, I bought it for myself. It was like $6 online. I'm like, what? Yes.
That's pretty wicked.
Fantastic.
I haven't worn it training yet. I've already, you know, all I wear for when I train is like elite shirts. Only shirts that I don't really care if they get destroyed.
Speedos?
Sundays, yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Right now. Just a Speedo and a Flux capacitor t-shirt.
Capacitor t-shirt. That's like all those old... like all those old training like videos from like Schwarzenegger when they hike their shorts up like real high to see all the definition. You're just like, dude.
I want to see my legs. I don't know.
My calves used to, I was very ashamed of my calves, and I would take my early pictures in water, but then I trained my calf, and now they are
now
very,
he's Russian.
Very large.
I didn't know Arnold was from Russia.
I don't know. It was kind of like a Arnold
German.
Drunk. Yeah, it was a little German.
Austrian.
Yeah. Most of my German-ish, Ukrainian sort of stuff ends up becoming Russian because I had a few Russian guys in my class.
And John, you've been watching Lost as much as I care about that?
Yeah.
Oh man, it's so good.
You know, it's funny. It's good, but now I'm starting to get a little annoyed. Like, okay, please answer something for me. Like, and I'm the last person in the world to ever say that about Lost. I'm always like, no, it's enjoyable, whatever. And now I'm just starting to be like, really? Come on, just put it together for me. It's the last season.
I think they're getting there. I think they're just at the top of the curve, and now we're going to start heading back towards some answers, but some good stuff and. Man, I don't know what else to talk about. So
there's...
Lee, have you seen any good movies lately? Using the Netflix, or...?
No. Well, not anything I think that would be off-topic material. I watched the Whippet movie.
What's up?
On Netflix. It was, with the Drew Barrymore-directed movie. With the roller derby.
Oh, the roller derby thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Was that good?
But it was really good. I liked it a lot. Yeah. I mean, you know, it was one of those you know what to expect, kind of movies. But like, I mean, it was good. I liked it.
Whoops.
So, yeah, there's that. That's about it.
I've caught up on all of the Real World DC while answering emails the last couple nights.
You know, I saw some Real World. See, I end up seeing a lot of reality TV because it's just stuff that I catch like randomly. I think I'm thinking of a reality TV junkie, actually. I don't know how that happened, but cooking shows and like anything on Bravo, and I catch like the Real World, and it hit me one day, and I think I'm a little ashamed. I don't know.
Yeah,
but things like Kitchen Nightmares, like that show is awesome. Yeah, when he goes into restaurants and fixes them.
Yeah, no, I love anything Gordon Ramsay. I'll watch. So see, yeah, I think I'm just a reality TV show whore.
Women and I don't want to love that dude because he could also make them dinner. You know, like what guy can make like a really good dinner? That's a hard. John, can you make a good dinner?
My dad's a chef.
Okay.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah, we've been there with that.
Forget it.
You having obviously just that, don't no. listen. That's what the women do.
That's not what
Come
I was
on,
saying.
Kevin. Why would I do that?
Dude, I make a great Chobani
you make
Greek
a good
yogurt. Yeah, if it's Chobani Greek yogurt and some almonds, yeah. Pretty awesome.
You hear that, ladies?
Lee, you've seen my food chart.
I know, it's really sad. It's like protein powder and yogurt.
I like it. It tastes good, and I'm sorry. I've like literally like sometimes I'll literally have 5 minutes to eat, or like I'm not like I went to Trader Joe's this morning. I'm really stupid because I forgot to pick up. I usually pick up like the individually sealed chicken breasts, but then like. I feel like I'm going to have to weigh it, and then I'm going to have to cut some of it off, and then if I want to, like, use it, I have to get some, like, of that rub stuff, and it doesn't keep me full, and I'm just, like, this stuff, like, the nutrition and the dieting, like, Lee, you know this, I want to think about it as little as possible.
I know, because when you start to think about it, it's not good.
It's not good.
Like, when you go grocery shopping hungry. Not good.
Yeah, but, you know, actually, it was weird. The two things that like popped out at me, and well, I guess it's not weird, is that I forget what the company. It's like this peanut butter company that makes this. Like they make a dark chocolate peanut butter.
Oh,
like
yeah,
a
cinnamon New York. It's New York something.
Yeah, and it's like so good. That stuff is just like. I'm like maybe I should call Lee at 7 a.m. and see if I can just have one of these things today. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
We could for off topic. That's just a lot of 12 minutes. I'm about to get caffeinated. Let's record the show.
I'm about to buy me a Damn It Feels Good to Be a Hamsta t-shirt. Noisebot.com is awesome.
Oh, see, I'm all about the t-shirt hell.com.
Oh, see?
ThinkGeek.com. Trifecta. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 169. Man, I'll get it all off at that. Sorry. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 169.
Dude, how did you get past the original episode 69 if you can't even say 169?
Oh, wait, let's try one more time. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 169. I'm Kevin Lacey. Damn it!
Do you need me to say it, Kevin?
Yes. Hold on. No, I can do it. You know, I can. I gotta step it up. Hold on.
You should all